Thank you for joining the Paperclip conference. At this time, I would like to hand the call over to your moderator, Andy McLaughlin.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us today. I think all of us over the past week have been disturbed by the images that we've seen coming out of Haiti. The images have been upsetting and frightening to all of us if we've watched a country that was already desperately in need sink further into need. And certainly we have heard stories of universities and the university communities working to respond rapidly and working to act quickly to do their part to help a country and a community that's in need. Paperclip Communications is proud to have responded many times before when communities are in need and to do our part to help bring university communities together to respond to communities that are in need. And this crisis and this tragedy in Haiti is no different. And so we're presenting this webinar today in hopes that your university community will be able to garner some information, to gather some ideas, and to find some things that you can do to help the Haitian community and the country of Haiti to help the long-term efforts and short-term efforts to help that community heal and rebuild. We're proud to, I'm proud to have assembled some team members from Paperclip as well as a higher ed consultant that we've worked with a number of times. Proud to have assembled them very quickly and done some quick work to bring together a number of resources that we hope you'll be able to deploy very, very quickly. I'd like to ask each of our panelists today if they could each just take a moment to introduce themselves. Tammy, I'd like to start with you first.
Thank you, Andy. My name is Tammy Klumpian. I currently serve as the event coordinator for Paperclip Communications, providing webinars for professional development purposes to colleges across the country via Paperclip. I do have background in student affairs and higher education, about 13 years as a director within a student affairs division in both public and private institutions. And I, too, am pleased that we are able to provide this resource today for our colleges.
Great. Thank you, Tammy. George?
Thank you, Andy. Hi, my name is George Brailsford. I am a higher education consultant currently working with Paperclip Communications. I have 30 years of experience in the field and a doctorate in higher education, and look very much forward to being part of this discussion today.
Thank you, George. And finally, Julie.
Hi, everyone. My name is Julie Phillips, and I'm the managing editor here at Paperclip Communications. I work with the editorial side of things, and very glad to be working with this team to talk about what is an awful, awful situation and what we can be doing on our campuses to be of help.
Thank you very much. So you'll hear from each of our panelists today as we kind of review some of what's happened in Haiti, although not necessarily covering the news from that perspective, but talking a little bit about what's happened and then moving on to what your university can be doing. As we move through our panelists, they'll cover very specific ideas that your colleges can be doing. In addition to this format and this webinar that we're offering to you, we also have some resources on our website that Julie will be talking about, PDF resources that you can download and use with your staff and PDFs that you can use with your students. Tammy, I'd like to turn to you first if you could cover your portion of the program.
Sure. Thank you, Andy. To begin, we did want to provide all of our listeners with just a summary of the recent news regarding the earthquake in Haiti. And so what I'm just going to do is provide you with pretty much the facts of what has occurred within a little less than a week's time. On January 12th, a magnitude 7.0 earthquake rocked Haiti, approximately 10 miles west of the capital of Port-au-Prince, home to as much as a third of the country's population. described by UN spokeswoman Elizabeth Beers as a historic disaster, death toll predictions have been as high as 200,000. The earthquake is the biggest to hit the impoverished Caribbean nation in two centuries. As of January 17th, the United States Agency for International Development estimated the death toll at 65,000. Thousands of buildings have, from shanties to hospitals and schools to the presidential palace, were destroyed in the quake and its aftershocks. Streets have been blocked by debris, and communication networks have been crippled. The Haitian government has been depleted by death and injury, hampering the coordination of relief efforts. The picture is grim. The Haitian people are begging for help. They're digging through debris with their hands to get to loved ones as they wait for help to arrive. Thousands are injured, and the UN estimates that more than 300,000 are homeless. Looters have been roaming the streets, wielding machetes, claiming whatever they can, and there is fear of anarchy. Hundreds of bodies have been piled outside, leading some to fear for an epidemic. People are desperate for food and clean water. The United States and countries around the world have turned their focus to mobilizing a vast relief effort to help the approximately 3 million people affected. Although relief efforts were initially slowed down due to damaged seaport and clogged airport, street violence, and massive destruction in an already impoverished country, hundreds of specialists have made their way to Haiti. These specialists include teams from the Red Cross, International U.S. Urban Search and Rescue Civilian and K-9 teams, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Disaster Medical Assistance Team, and military personnel. These teams will help maintain order, establish field hospitals, restore water and sanitation systems, distribute supplies, and restore family facilities. Supplies from various countries have arrived, including food, water, and shelter distributions, as well as the medical supplies, tarps, blankets, hygiene items, buckets, and kitchen sets. Worldwide, millions of dollars have been pledged in humanitarian efforts, and numerous countries continue to work together to provide as much support and help as possible. As UN spokeswoman Elizabeth Beers concluded, "This is a historic disaster. We have never been confronted with such a disaster in the UN memory. It is like no other." Given that, we are happy to provide you today with some ideas of how your campuses may be able to respond, both on campus and within Haiti as well. And with that, I'd like to hand the call over to my colleagues Julie Phillips and George Brelsford to share with you some of those ideas.
Thank you very much, Tammy, and this is Julie. I appreciate that. There's a slide in front of you that talks about hosting a teach-in. And teach-ins are where schools gather their resources to create educational moments surrounding a tragedy, and they've become a popular and effective campus response to help people make sense of emergencies and disasters. They happened quite a lot after 9/11, and they also took place after Hurricane Katrina. And now with the crisis in Haiti, schools such as Florida International University are hosting teach-ins. At that school, their School of International and Public Affairs held their teach-in just this past Saturday, tapping into their campus experts to share information on topics such as peacekeeping efforts and disaster relief and earthquake recovery, economic ramifications. Some of the other topics you could address in a teach-in could be the role of churches and faith, rebuilding infrastructure, the culture, history, politics, and, of course, people of Haiti, and then, of course, poverty. So these are just some of the topics that you could cover in a teach-in, and your presenters could be anyone from campus ministry to the faculty to student affairs and more, whomever has an interest and an expertise. And teach-ins allow schools to use their strongest assets, which are their educated, caring, and informed individuals, to help students and other campus community members learn more about an issue beyond just what CNN provides. So that is the first suggestion. The second one is about unifying and focusing your campus efforts. Because as a campus community member strive to respond to the disaster in Haiti, you want to be careful about duplication of efforts and groups working on top of one another. So identifying an office or a group on campus to coordinate your efforts makes good sense, and George is going to talk a little bit more about that. And then having an overall campus outreach effort that's easy to access and understand is a very good way to get folks on board. For example, at the University of Georgia, they've created a group called Dogs for Haiti. I guess the dog is in recognition of their bulldog mascot. And this group has been created to raise money, and they're branding their effort by using a royal blue ribbon, which recognizes the blue in the Haitian flag, and that's the face of their campaign. And they've also created a specific website dedicated to their efforts where people can go for updated information and also to donate money through an online system, with the proceeds going to the Red Cross and Doctors Without Borders. And then the Dogs for Haiti also has a catchy pledge, which is $50,000 for 50,000 people, which is referring to their fundraising goal in honor of the at least 50,000 people presumed dead in Haiti. Also, tomorrow, students throughout the U.S. are going to be wearing red clothing and ribbons to show support for victims of the earthquake. And that's something that they're doing at East Carolina University and a variety of other schools, too. And then another effective way to get people on board with your institution's fundraising and awareness is those awareness-raising efforts is to tie your relief efforts into existing programs. That's what they're doing at North Carolina State, where the student government is closely communicating with the leaders of student groups on campus so that all the funds raised can go into a collective pot. And they've called their movement Howl for Haiti and will raise funds for Stop Hunger Now. The first large-scale effort will be to collect funds and raise awareness at the upcoming NC State-Duke basketball game, which is a big one. The next suggestion is to just make sure you're keeping folks in the loop, because along with having a unified, focused effort like we just talked about, communication is key to all of these efforts. It's just a natural cause and effect that people are more likely to get involved if they feel included, so you address the campus community regularly to let them know what's happening. You can provide a letter from the president, as schools like the University of Arizona have done. You can talk about any connections to Haiti, from students trying to contact family members to faculty with academic connections. Discuss your fundraising and awareness-raising efforts, and just make such communication part of your school's homepage just so people know where they can go for the most updated information. And then think about sending a letter out to faculty, staff, students, parents, alumni, and others who are members of your campus community, because nothing makes a campus feel more like a unified community than sharing information and efforts to help another community. And then another thing to keep in mind at this time of year is not all students are going to be back on campus yet, because many of us are still in the midst of winter break. So consider putting together a simple Haiti How We're Helping primer to get students up to speed when they do return to campus. You can use Facebook, Twitter, your homepage, as well as word of mouth via resident assistants and other student leaders to get this word out. By looping them in immediately, you're going to help interested students just know how they can get involved in your campus efforts. The next suggestion is to provide opportunities for the community to come together in supportive ways. And this is a very natural thing for many higher ed institutions, because when something awful like the disaster in Haiti occurs, people are often looking for emotional outlets to help them feel less hopeless and just more engaged. So by coordinating opportunities for your community to come together, you're helping to meet those needs. It may be a more cerebral event like the teach-ins that we discussed earlier, or it may be a spiritual event like the prayer vigils being held at schools like USC and Princeton University. Sometimes a candlelight vigil can be held outside, even when the weather is chilly, as it is in many parts of the country. And after words have been spoken and there's been time for reflection, you can create something like a peace sign or another symbol in the snow or in the sand, and folks can leave their lit candles there when they're done with the vigil. That can just be a pretty potent moment. And then just think about who's going to coordinate this event, a committee, a certain student group. Since these events typically have to get off the ground quickly, you also just have to get comfortable with the fact that it may not be perfect. Only so much can be done with a quick turnaround, and as long as it meets your community's needs in respectful and valuable ways, that's really okay. The next suggestion is to focus on water issues. And that may seem a little odd, but it's one thing about that's something that's very important in the context of the crisis in Haiti. Because sometimes it can be overwhelming to know where to begin with educational efforts, especially when it comes to a situation that's as politically, economically, culturally, and just human-centered as the disaster in Haiti is. So you and your students may be able to start with one issue, such as water, because it plays such an important part in the disaster relief spectrum, because getting potable water to the earthquake victims is currently a very major push. Dehydration can kill, and a lack of clean water and sanitation can lead to a second wave of deaths caused by diarrheal diseases, like cholera and dysentery. And children and the elderly are especially at risk for these diseases. Water is the drop of life, and that's made even more evident when you help students take a look at the important role that it's currently playing in Haiti. So one way to focus on water in an educational manner is to host simple water stands, and that's similar to lemonade stands. You can just hand out cups of clean water with an educational message, such as the one that you'll see on the slide, and consider collecting money for each cup as you would at a lemonade stand. This can help campus community members wrap their heads around one of the many issues impacting Haitians and others in the world, by focusing on one thing at a time, just like water. And then the last suggestion before I turn it over to George is just to really prepare for future efforts. Pretty soon the people of Haiti and the disaster relief efforts won't be making front page news anymore. The news cycle will go on to the next disaster or news of the moment, yet Haiti has just a very long way to go to recovery, and it's important to keep the people and efforts in your campus's consciousness. So you can consider putting together an ad hoc group of interested folks to work on this issue. Think about things like, can you start planning future community service trips to Haiti in conjunction with an appropriate receiving organization? Or how can you keep awareness going on campus 2 months down the road, say? Many of us jump to attention in the throes of crisis, yet we follow up and continue to attention over the long haul is often a mark of our institution's character and care. So with that, I am going to turn this over to George, and he is going to talk about a few more suggestions. George, please go right ahead.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Julie. And to continue on, a few things that we need to be very concerned about. The first, of course, is our students who are from Haiti, who are currently enrolled on our campuses. In addition to having the trauma associated with having family members in their home country and not being able to contact them, there's a number of things that become an issue for these students. We're at the start of a semester here. It is likely that communication will be disrupted for a very long period of time, and I think that we can expect that payment for things like tuition bills and room and board are going to be late and certainly are going to be interrupted. And I think that we just need to take as much opportunity as we can to be understanding and to work with our students and to understand that this is something that is out of their control, and that we need to be as flexible as we can in regard to collecting the fees and things that are owed to the university. In addition to that, we may want to look to our partners in the food service area and to see if there's any possibility of some food service scholarships for students who are certainly away from home and are not able to pay for a food service contract at this point. We also need to make sure that we're providing the emotional and spiritual support that we know these students are going to need. The counseling center on all of our campuses need to be very aware, up to date, and there's a number of things that counseling centers can do. We're going to talk about those a little bit later. We also can do what we can to assist these students in contacting their family in Haiti. Very often, we'll get information the students will not normally get, and just because students are somewhat isolated from news and other services. And so we can direct students to the different services available to them to try to help them make contact with folks from home. There are a number of websites that people have developed in order to do this, and it's one of the things that we can do to help. In addition, one of the things that I think we need to consider doing is providing each Haitian student with one contact person on the campus, a person, an individual that they go to in order to try to meet their needs when they have a question, when they have a concern, when they have a challenge that they can't seem to get past on their own. I think it's one of the things that we need to do. This is something that has worked in other situations of this nature, and we should consider utilizing that as well. Moving on, we need to consider partnering with one or two reputable relief agencies in order to direct interested students and student organizations to them. Students are very giving and just wonderful people. They also tend to have a tremendous amount of energy, and that energy tends to get dispersed in various, in a great many different directions. I think one of the things that we can do to best meet their needs is to help guide them to a few organizations that have a good reputation as having a great amount of the money raised go directly to the people in need. We can look at organizations through Charity Watch and some of the other websites, through the federal government, that can assist us in recognizing which organizations are reputable. As hard as it is to hear, when things like this occur, there are always those folks who are looking for a way to kind of benefit themselves in taking advantage of a situation that exists. We want to make sure that that doesn't happen and that the monies that students raise through their hard work and through their efforts go to the individuals who need the service at the very end. And so that's one of the things that we need to be concerned about. One of the things that universities may want to do is to look at those organizations they have partnered with in the past. The American Red Cross, for example, is active in every crisis that occurs. And if you look at, we're not all that far removed from the Katrina disaster. And there may be some organizations that the university and colleges worked with during that time period that that may be called upon again to assist in this tragedy. We also want to make sure that we're meeting the needs of the rest of the campus community. Whenever a crisis of this magnitude occurs, it impacts on everyone. There is that desire to help. There is that concern for, well, what if that happened here? Or where are my friends? Is everybody okay? There are all of those things that go on in this area. Counseling centers in this regard need to be very active and need to make sure that students know what services are available to them. One of the challenges that counseling centers often have is marketing their services, and this is one of those times that we really do need to market those things to make sure that students know what is available for them. Having counselors available in advertised locations at advertised times, perhaps in the same location for a number of nights in a row at the same time, so that students have an opportunity to drop in. Also, make counselors available during the day for those student walk-ins. Very often, counseling centers are overwhelmed, and their days are fully scheduled. But if you can create a counselor of the day position, perhaps, and have somebody simply available to talk to students as they come in because they are having some problems associated with this catastrophe. Also need to think about creating opportunities to facilitated group discussions around the campus. The residence halls and the student center tend to be great places to do these kind of things. And I think we can go a long way into meeting the needs of a great many of our, not only our students, but the rest of our community members in addressing those kind of concerns that they have and the kind of feelings that they're experiencing, and just helping them work through that. Another thing we want to think about is reaching out to the other members of our community, faculty, staff, the surrounding area, the area surrounding our campus, and our alums and our parents. We may want to reach out specifically to our Haitian alumni who are still living in the United States, and making a contact with them and offering what services the university can provide reasonably to our alums. In these kind of situations, emails and university websites become exceptionally important. We all know that in the absence of real information, people will make things up, and people will start trying to piece things together from, you know, what they're hearing and what they're hearing from friends and from colleagues. But a university's website needs to be the university's statement on what it is doing, what kind of services it's providing, and any updates and news that may be appropriate for the university community. Lastly, I think it's really important that we try to identify an office to coordinate campus responses to the disaster in Haiti. Shenandoah University, for example, has identified the Office of Spiritual Life as the office in charge of its response to the Haitian crisis. And there's a website listed for you on the slide there to look at. And I think this is an outstanding idea. It provides students with a location that they can go and people that they can talk to. Otherwise, students, as I said, tend to be have a great deal of energy, and that energy tends to go in a lot of different directions. If we can focus that, it's to the benefit of everyone involved. In addition, we can provide a central contact for all students and student organizations, including staff and alums. And so this will be a great place to do this. This also provides an opportunity to have the media contact one office rather than the individual offices asking what everybody is doing. this will be one of the things that becomes somewhat burdensome in these kind of situations. Also, by identifying the responsible office, we are communicating a commitment to the relief effort of the university. Julie, I'm going to turn it back to you at this time.
Okay. Thanks very much, George, and thanks for sharing all those suggestions. Wonderful, as always. We're glad to share this information with all of you, and we wish you the best as you're continuing to address the crisis in Haiti. We're also offering additional resources on the Paperclip homepage, which is www.paper-clip.com, and those are just some resources to help you in this pursuit. And those include a summary of what's happening so far in Haiti, a recap of the 11 things that institutions can do that George and I just discussed, a sheet that you can share with students about how they can put their passions into action in effective ways, and then a comprehensive listing of resources that can be referred to for your fundraising efforts as well as your awareness-raising initiatives like teach-ins. So many thanks to the Paperclip team who was involved with this webinar, our president, Andy McLaughlin, who served as the moderator, Tammy Klumpian, our events coordinator, George Brelsford, our higher ed consultant, and also one of our editors, Laura Betty, who helped research information for this webinar, even though she couldn't join us. And I'm Julie Phillips, and I thank you for joining us as we keep the people of Haiti in our hearts and on our minds. Take care.